back.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah. Got it pretty much.
This quarter is the last transcripted grade, so.
Oh.
Same for you, last transcript.
Yep, yep. I mean, besides the second semester, I have to take one class to take another English credit, and that's it.
Difficult core.
No, that's just about it.
That's kind of nice, something to look forward to, and then a little bit of smooth sailing after that.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be nice. I can just go to school for 1 hour, and then I can start working almost full time. Should be nice. So
don't do that.
Sound like you're speaking from experience.
I didn't graduate early. No way. I wouldn't do that.
That was one of those work studies where they call out. Almost the entire senior year, I went to school half a day and then worked in a grocery store the second half. So it's kind of like one of those things where you're hanging out with your teenage friends and you're hanging out with your adults in the grocery store. Good thing. It kind of made me more exposed.
Yeah, I mean, from sophomore year to the end of second semester last year, I worked at Why Not Downtown.
Oh, great. Okay.
So I kind of got that experience of going to school and then going to work. And,
right.
It wasn't fun, but.
Well, you feel like you're being pulled at both ends, one way this way.
Yeah, because you feel bad if you don't do good either way. If you go to work and you're kind of slacking off, then they're going to be like, what's going on? It's like, it's been a long day, man.
But in the real world,
5 o'clock.
Welcome to the real world, because that's how it goes. You're always
That's how it goes. You got to condition myself.
Okay. We're glad you're both here this evening. Thank you. Seeing it's now 6:15, I'd like to call this monthly meeting of Human Services Committee to order. I have the call to order, roll call. I see we all are present, with the exception of Supervisor Berg, which has indicated he would not be here, so he has an excused absence. And now open the floor up to citizens' comments. Any citizens in the audience who would like to have a say here at our monthly proceedings? It's open for that. John, anything to say back there?
No.
Okay. Going once, going twice. Citizens' comments. The third item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes for our last meeting. I would take it for granted that you've all had an opportunity to take a look at those. Any comments? If there are no comments, then I entertain a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve.
So second. Moved by Supervisor Mudon.
Second
Supervisor Gable. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So moved. Minutes are approved. Before we get to the presentation, I'd like to handle one matter that's not on our board or on our docket here, and that is the Salvation Army presentation or Salvation Army proposal that December be the month that will be recognized by Kenosha County as being, it's called Salvation Army Month. So do you have that documentation with you?
It's okay.
Okay. So is someone going to present that? It's a document for the presenter. This was proposed by Supervisor Juhas, and I don't know, it was on the internet. I read it myself. Has everyone become familiar with this? I'm just going to read it aloud to make sure that we have it fully understood by our committee. Date submitted December 4th, today's date, prepared by Supervisor Juhas, designating December Salvation Army Month. Whereas the Kenosha County Board recognizes the high spiritual and humanitarian role of the Salvation Army in American life, and the Kenosha County Board recognizes that the Salvation Army, through its welfare and religious institutions in our country, has befriended, aided in giving new hope to men, women, and children without discrimination, and the Salvation Army in Kenosha was founded in 1890 and is now celebrating 128 years in our community, and the month of December is the primary time of year when the Salvation Army conducts their Red Kettle campaign to provide necessary funds for their programs, and the Kenosha County Board commends the Salvation Army for its 128 years of history doing the most good, that's some type of quotation or italicized item, doing the most good for Kenosha County. Therefore, be it resolved, the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors hereby recognizes December Salvation Army Month in Kenosha County, and Be it further resolved that Kenosha County residents and businesses are encouraged to do their part in volunteering, supporting, and giving to the Salvation Army to help them continue their legacy of doing the most good for Kenosha County. Respectfully submitted, Monica Uhouse. So before I ask for a motion to approve this, is there any discussion on this?
I have a question. I have a real problem with the wording here and the, what is it, in the second whereas,
mm-hmm.
where it says about so it's welfare and religious institutions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically, the only problem that I have is not too long ago, there was a big deal
right.
when it was with the voting, because mm-hmm. they said they were trying to mix up religion,
sure,
everything, and now here we are. She came from pretty much from some of the people involved with Kenosha County, and now the almost the same people are putting there in the resolution, so I don't know. I might have some problem with that.
Well, you can look at it in that context. You can also take a look at it as religion is a pretty broad palette. You know, you have all these different denominations, Christian, non-Christian. It doesn't seem as though it's actually promulgating any particular religious agenda here, just saying religious institutions. So, further discussion?
I understand that part, if I may add on that. And to be honest, personally, I really don't have a problem. First, it's just what just happened about a month ago, where they made a big deal, and they're still going about it.
Right.
So do we want to get into that,
right.
or is there being taking double standards? That was not something religious either, but they're trying to make a big deal out of it, so what are we doing now? I don't know if anybody can answer on that. Anybody that prepared this or that is familiar with that?
Well, here's the thing to consider as well. We're not actually promulgating them as an institution or basically making any financial commitment to them as a supporting the Red Cross, or excuse me,
Salvation Army.
We're recognizing them in their mission of what they do. So I think within those circumstances, we're probably safe. I mean, we could always defer this and ask Corporation Council to weigh in, but then you kind of lose your moment. You know, this is like your month that they're active. So further comment or discussion?
Is this meant to be an annually occurring thing, or is it just for this year?
It's my expectation, although it's not specifically noted here, that it would probably be an annual recurring month, because it's saying recognizing December as that month. A very good point. Barrister, would you care to weigh in?
My only thought is with regard to separation of the institution and government, I don't believe that it presents a problem. Certainly nothing that's crossed the line for purposes of court, but I certainly respect, idea. I think, and nonetheless, that when you look at the, Salvation Army and its mission statement, that it is much more broad and would not be political in nature and wouldn't violate the spirit of resolution as it's worded.
I don't think so either, but I do take Supervisor Nudo's comments to be germane and potentially a cause for concern. What we could do in this committee, if you elected to, would be to pass it with the understanding that when it comes to the county board floor tonight, I understand it is an agenda item, it will be on the county board floor this evening, that we have a corp counsel weigh in and see if there's any particular caveats he would say. If it came that it was, we could always ask the maker of the motion or just document, Supervisor Uhouse, to potentially strike, withdraw the religious aspect of it. So those would be items for your consideration.
I'll just make a motion to accept it as written.
I'll second that.
Second. So we have a motion and a second to accept our resolution number 61 as written. We'll do this as an oral thing, then we'll just go around and sign it afterwards. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rules unanimous that it's accepted, so I'll start it off and we'll pass it around. Moving on to other business, we're looking for a presentation, Summer Youth Employment Program, Donna Rhodes, Division of Children and Family Services.
Right.
Ron, are you going to take this one?
Yeah, I'll let Donna take
it. Why don't you take this one, Ron?
I can, but I'll let Donna, she'll do a better job. So I'm Ron Rogers, Director of Division of Children and Family Services. We want to thank you again for approving our budget for 2019. And one of the programs that has been in this budget for a number of years now has been our Summer Youth Employment Program. So we thought the summer just ended in 2018. Be a good idea to update you on what good work this program has done again this year. And with that, I'm going to have Donna Rhodes, who's our gang intervention supervisor, lead us in this presentation.
What I'm passing around is just a summary of the information I'm about to present right now about the 2018 Summer Youth Employment Program. So anyone who's ever met me before knows I love this program and I can talk about it all day. But I won't keep you guys here all night. I'll make it brief. So this is our 10th year of doing this program. And the Kenosha County Summer Youth Employment Program is a work program for at-risk youth. It is a referral-based program. Our referrals come from Kenosha Unified, Boys and Girls Club, Community Impact Programs and Professional Services Group, and Kenosha County DCFS. We employ young people aged 14 to 21 for 8 weeks in the summer, working 20 hours a week. Our under 18s earn minimum wage, and our over 18, our 18 to 21-year-olds, earn a little more at $8 an hour. We usually employ right around 200 young people. So this past summer, we employed 204 young people, and they worked over 24,000 hours at a variety of work sites. We'll get into that. Things we're most proud of in this program is that programs nationwide like this have about a 7% average of kids getting employment at the end. We had 58 kids get employment at the end of the summer this year, which is over 25%. And we've never fallen below 10% in all the years we've done this program. So the program starts with a mentoring interview. We have our referral sources work with kids. They talk to them about what it takes to do a good interview, what the skills you're gonna need to be successful, not only in the interview, but in the job. So the mentoring interview, they come in, we have a lot of community partners that will interview the kids. We have a standard set of interview questions. And then at the end of the difference in this interview is they get a critique at the end of the interview. What they did well, what they can work on in the future, did they shake, have a nice firm handshake, they maintain good eye contact, were they dressed appropriately, are there an answer they could give a better, something they can give a better answer to. For instance, we'll have a kid, what are you proud of? That's one of our questions. We'll have a kid answer, I haven't gone to jail in a year. Well, we may give them a few tips on a better way to answer that question. So this is something they'll get from this interview that they won't get at their next unsubsidized job interview. Another thing we ask is what their interests are, because we have quite a few work sites, but we try to pair what their interest is to the job that they're going to be doing. We can't always do it, but at least we do the best we can. So some of the skills, some of the places they've worked, they've learned landscaping, food preparation, hairstylist, construction, customer service. We have worked at nursing homes for elder care, a lot of factory work, manufacturing. And those are jobs, those last two are where we generally put our 18 to 21s, because we have a really high rate of those getting hired in those places. This program is built on collaborations. We have a lot of great collaborations make this program successful. Community impact programs who reassign their young social workers to work side by side. Some of our highest risk youth work side by side with the young social workers, doing work out in the Kenosha County parks. We have a partnership with the city where we get discounted bus passes so kids can go to work, to get to work. One of our biggest partnerships is with Kenosha Unified, in which young people, as long as they do an educational portion and then work 60 hours in the program, they earn a half credit towards graduation. And we have had that half credit in towards graduation make the difference in young people graduating and not graduating. So this summer, we're proud to say that 111 of our young people who were school age earned that half credit towards graduation.
Now, what's the criterion again? 60 hours of?
60 hours of work in addition to the 12 hours of education. And that 12 hours of education occurs the week before the actual work sites begin.
Okay. And that's been going on for how long now?
The education? From the beginning, 10 years. Yes. They added the 60 hours of employment was something that was added a few years ago. It used to be they just did the 12 hours in the beginning, but we wanted more substantial. We didn't want people to get 12 hours and half a credit. So they have to, it's a work experience credit, so they have to actually show the work experience. Some of the things they learn in the classroom session are financial literacy and banking, social skills. It's kind of all the soft skills they need to know to maintain a job. The customer service training, we talk about career matching, higher education opportunities, resume writing, more mock interviews. And we actually have a separate set up for kids who do it a second year. We have a 2-year cap on the program because we want to give this opportunity to as many kids as possible. But in the second year, we don't want them to earn a half credit for doing the same thing. So KUSD has created a whole second curriculum for those second year kids to do. And then they just, again, have to work their 60 hours. We have 42 work sites total. We had some great new work sites this year, including the mobile station and Dildot's Catering, which are together right on 22nd and about 45th. UW Parkside is one of our newer work sites, Gordy Boucher, and Titoff Tile and Mold. Titoff. If you look here, these are some of the other these are listed all of our work sites. So we have barbershops, we have the city of Kenosha, we have Kenosha County Parks, we have the Achievement Center, who is also one of our community partners, because they provide our busing to some of our kids who work out in the parks. Trolley Dogs, Frankie D's, Victoria's, YMCA, Straight Up Boxing.
Yeah, what is Straight Up Boxing?
It's a boxing club. And our kids clean up there.
Oh, okay. I thought, we sent them in.
Yeah. We do have a partnership with Straight Up Boxing,
That's
though.
The reason why they went there in the first place.
We do have a partnership with Straight Up Boxing where actually kids go there to learn to box and actually pairing them with people to do some competency building and pairing young people with positive adults. We also have a good partnership with Kenosha Unified. A lot of our kids clean the schools over the summer. They go in and they clean the lockers, and they clean the cafeteria. We have people working in the finance department at KUSD. So our young people age 14 and 15, who obviously have some restrictions on where they can work, we have a program called the Youth Employment in the Arts that create beautiful, beautiful art for the city. Before the city switched to plastic garbage cans, one of the art projects we did was painted garbage cans. So if you ever see painted garbage cans, they're all getting a little older now. Those were created by our kids. But here we show our mural that highlights a lot of Kenosha sites. That is housed at the Kenosha County Job Center. So if you're ever at the Job Center, please walk down the main hallway. It is basically an art gallery right now. We have 6 beautiful, beautiful murals hanging there, and this was our latest addition. And then the mosaic here is also of the Harvard. That is housed at Herzing University. We also have 2 out at the Kenosha County Center out on 45 and 50, and we have a couple at Safe Harbor and the Boys and Girls Club. So we have these beautiful pieces of art all over Kenosha. So if you see a mosaic like this, there's generally a plaque that said it was created by Youth and Summer Youth Employment Program. Yeah.
Do they paint the fire hydrants too? Didn't I see
No.
them?
No, that would be a good project.
I thought I saw them a couple of years ago. Yeah. There were people out painting fire hydrants.
Yeah. So one of the things we've seen, and one of the most exciting things about this program, is that we have seen a constant decrease in juvenile arrest since 2009 when we started the program. So the first number there in the chart, 1,140 in 2008, that was the year prior to summer youth employment. Our first summer was in 2009. So from May 1st to August 31st, 2008, there were 1,140 juvenile arrests. This past summer in 2018, there were 291. Now, is that only because of summer youth employment? I would say not, but you cannot put 200 of the highest risk youth in the community to work every day, sending them home tired, putting money in their pocket, and it not affect arrest rates. We also have great community programs. Also, thank you for the funding for those. We have a great police department. So all of those things combined has helped make Kenosha a safer community.
I have a question on that. This says that it's City of Kenosha youth arrest. Why is that city and not the county as a whole that you're measuring?
We don't have a lot of, we offer the program to youth west of the I, but we only generally have a handful. Three or four, because there's not a lot of work sites west of the I. So we have kids working at West Ocean Central, and we also have kids working at Wilmot. So we might have two kids at each work site.
Is this coordinated through juvie court, juvenile court?
These are the stats come from the Kenosha Police Department.
Okay.
And it's all arrests, even for minor crime infractions, not necessarily criminal matters in circuit court. It could be municipal arrests.
So we also offer extra opportunities for kids that are doing very well. We kind of poll the supervisors who hasn't missed any days, who's doing a great job at work, who has a good attitude, and we actually offer them extra work opportunities, and they get a chance to earn a little more money. So the Harborfest Blues and Jazz Festival, National Night Out, the parade, we actually have kids working at those events to earn extra money.
Are they pretty good about being on time? I mean, most high school kids I know would rather sleep until dark.
Yes. For these opportunities, these are the kids that we don't have any problems with them. You know, they come to work on time. They don't miss any days. They get along with their supervisor. So we kind of pick the cream of the crop to give them the separate. We want to reward kids for doing great. And so that's how we do it, by talking to the supervisors and grabbing all the kids that are doing well and giving them extra opportunities to make some more money. So we always like to poll a participant and see kind of what they thought of being in the program. So, you know, this young man, TJ, said, "This job has made a big difference in how I spent my time this summer. I enjoyed earning money to do what I like and plan on getting my own job once the summer is over." And he, along with 57 others, did just that. They went out and they either got hired by the employer they're working with this summer, or they used the skills developed in this program to go out and find their own unsubsidized employment. So this picture was taken at our dedication, County Exec Cruiser. We do a big dedication usually on the first Wednesday in October every year. This is the mural that's hanging at the job center, and these were some of our participants. And if you notice, we have a nice little four-legged participant there, because that when I meant to cover what at-risk means, because at-risk means could mean anything from homeless to teen parent to delinquent to even disabled youth. So that is a service dog with his owner, his partner, and they actually went to work every day. And this is his second year in the program. So
I thought he was arrested for something. I was
So questions.
Who pays the wages?
So you help us pay the wages. Yeah. This was a $255,000 grant that's funneled through the Boys and Girls Club. The kids actually become employees of the Boys and Girls Club. They handle all the wages, the insurance, all the payroll stuff. But it's from the funding we get from the county.
So, but our community partners aren't shelling out to do this?
No. Okay. No. Well, our community partners give us quite a bit of in-kind match. Because like I said, with community impact programs, they reassign young social workers to go out and dig trenches. They dug the trenches for the Wi-Fi at the county parks. The fence around the beer garden at Pets was built by our kids. The split rail fence around the outside of Pets was built by our kids. The shelters out at KD Park. So we've done significant work. The Frisbee golf course at Silver Lake Park that was helped being built by our kids a couple of summers ago. Two of the most exciting things, excuse me, Ron. This summer we had, with the kids who get on subsidized employment, we have two girls who worked at Popeyes in 2014 and 15 through this program who are now still working there and are managers. They actually came to the job fair and picked their own kids to work there this summer. And then one of the original participants in the 2009-2010 program is actually a business owner now, and for the last two summers has employed our kids at his business Sugar Box, which is an ice cream store downtown.
That's awesome. It's great.
Yeah, and another way to view this is that, you know, we'll jump in here a second. All the employers of these kids, so thanks to the county board, you're funding their wages for 8 weeks, but the employers have opened up their businesses and are using this as a mentoring work experience. So the kids are really working, but they're learning how to work there. Well,
and that's not, I don't have an issue with the county spending money because this is a program that obviously we're seeing results with. I was just curious. I mean, who was paying for that?
Yeah, and the Connaught Unified donates their teachers to teach the half credit curriculum. They donate their art teachers to help the kids do the artwork in the youth employment in the arts, and they and then all the work sites are donating. All those supervisors at the work site really are spending extra time with these young people, because really these are the young people who, if they walk down the road to McDonald's, they wouldn't get hired. You know, they're not you two that are here in this county human services committee. They haven't had a job before. They don't present well, and so they learn through this experience how to behave at work. You know, how do you handle being at a work site where someone tells you no, or someone says, "Oh, you didn't do the job right. You got to do it again," or you have to work harder. That's part of this whole experience. And what Donna was highlighting, which is really exciting, is we had over a quarter of these kids this year found a regular part-time job at the end of this, which is off the charts excellent compared to sites like other programs like this across the country.
Yeah. Minimum of 20 hours per week for 8 weeks, that's part of the summer program. Can you just give us what the routine was, how many hours they usually worked? What was
they worked 20 hours.
That was the average?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it would. Yeah, it's 20 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
But can they work longer? I mean, if the employer wants them?
No, because that kind of taps into wages some other kid could be earning. They can hire them at the end.
Now, looking at this picture, this looks like a pretty well-versed, well-mixed group of kids. What are the demographics of the program? I mean, do we have insights on that?
Well, we again, they're all kids that meet the criteria for at-risk some way. So they can be, so if you mean in terms of race or ethnicity?
I mean, race, you know.
Gender?
Race, gender, income of the household. Because, I mean, by throwing in there, you know, like a child with a disability, you know, he might be labeled at risk. His or her parents could be well off, or you know, your parents could be well off, could still be a delinquent, for lack of better words.
Yeah.
I mean, do we have insights in that?
No, well, you know, we did some number crunching a couple of years ago, and we found out that it was something like 74% were from single families, and I can't remember the exact number, were under the poverty threshold, but it could be any number of kids right now. But we are looking for that at-risk kid. We do not want the kid who, because right now, I talked to Chris Isaacson, my partner at the Boys and Girls Club, and he's already getting calls from parents. Hey, my kid's going to be 14, I want him in this program. It's not for parents just to call. We're really looking for some professional to identify this child as being at risk and who does not have the skills or support to go out and find their own unsubsidized employment.
Very good. Further questions or comments for presenter? If not, thank you very much. Quite a successful program and something that Kenosha County can be proud of. And thank you very much for bringing it to us.
You're very welcome. I'm very proud to say that the state gave Milwaukee the same amount of money we employed 200 kids with to employ 100 kids a couple of years ago. So we take this money and we give it to the kids. It's very little admin that comes out of this money. The majority of this money goes to salary for the kids.
You ought to chase down the water department. I mean, paint the fire hydrants. I mean, they were doing that now 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's a great project because we really miss the garbage cans. The garbage cans were a great, great project for the kids.
And fire hydrants.
And the kids would like go all over town to look for them. They would go with their parents to, you know, where can I find my garbage can? So I really wish we could do that, but the fire hydrants are a great idea. Thank
Very
you.
Very well, thank you.
I'll suggest some colors.
That picture's such a nice picture. I'm going to need some
people. Well, TV boots you off.
Yeah.
No.
Do these, I just have one more question.
Sure.
Do these kids tend then after this program to do better in school? I mean, do you see a correlation in that or has that not really been looked at? Because now, you know, now they've been taught, okay, now I have, you know, the teacher's essentially the boss. This is my workload. I mean, do we see any correlation with them?
You know, I don't think we've ever looked at that, but we do have quite a few teachers and counselors that refer to the program. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something we could look at in the future, is maybe polling them on the next year to see have they seen a difference. Yeah. So I'm going to write down both of those ideas, fire hydrants and school success. Yeah.
I have to excuse myself. I have finance now. I'll go get you some money.
Thank you.
Thank you. And great. Thank you.
Mara and Donna, we hear reports from Public Works, who has, you know, KD Park out there on the west end. They have quite a number of youth that go there and help out, so we hear good reports. So
yeah,
we already have a great project lined up for next summer. We're going to be building a mosaic that's going to be 12 feet long, that's going to have like a jumping, like for a jumping pit, you know, and they're going to have native animals all on the mosaic that a bunny can jump 4 feet. Can you jump as fast, as far as?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And so everybody will be joining our mark, so it'll be at Pringle Nature Center at the end of next summer.
Well, great. That's fantastic. Thank you, Donna. Next
up. All right. So next up, we want to talk to you about a program that we've had for a number of years that's really expanded recently. It's our Families First program. So again, so keeping with the theme of working with kids more voluntarily, helping kids and families improve their lives. So I'm glad to present Star Burke, who's our Social Work Supervisor for Children with Special Needs, and Megan Morgan is the Lead Supervisor of the Families First program, and they have some handouts to pass out, and they'll present the program for you.
Yep. All right. Good evening. Thanks for having us here. As Ron mentioned, I'm Star Burke, and I am with the division and oversee about 7 different programs. I wear many different hats on many different days, but Families First is definitely one of our largest. Since we are such a small group, feel free to interject any questions that you may have as I go along. I'll try to slow the roll on all my alphabet soup, because we tend to do that in human services, as you all know. So Families First is a wraparound program, and when we say that, we mean that there's more than one publicly funded program being delivered by the same entity. So the two programs that are rolled into the Families First program is Comprehensive Community Services and Children's Long-Term Support. So we affectionately call those CCS and CLTS. Those programs are publicly funded through a variety of federal, state, Medicaid, and some county levy dollars. So those are kind of commingled. The Comprehensive Community Services is primarily 100% federally funded, so we're reaping some benefits for that fiscally throughout the county currently. And we are doing that because we are regionalized with Racine County. So we are in a collaborative effort with Racine County jointly. So we are able to service not only youth in Comprehensive Community Services, but adults. That's a program that goes through across the lifespan, for people with behavioral health needs. So these programs, as Ron mentioned, these are voluntary programs that help children stay in their community and in their home with their families. And that's really an important thing for us. To share some exciting news, the Wisconsin Division of Care and Treatment Services recently was able to use an assessment tool that we apply to measure some cost savings that the good work that Family First has accomplished. And we actually can correlate that we've saved the county approximately $1 million in 2017 in out-of-home care costs as a result of the good work that they're doing with children who have severe emotional behavioral needs in Kenosha County. So those are real life figures and data points that we're able to correlate. And so I'm going to pass the baton over to Megan Morgan, our lead supervisor. Sorry, she got married a few months ago, so we're still trying to get used. It doesn't roll off. And so I always have to pause. Megan Morgan, our lead supervisor with Families First.
Okay, so I just want to give you guys an overview of the program, the type of population that we serve, the types of services that we offer. So to start, our target population, it consists mostly of youth. So we are really just with CLTS and CCS, we're serving the youth population up to age 21, but typically around the age of 18, we're transferring them into other adult service systems. So we also primarily serve those with a mental health diagnosis, but can also include youth that have developmental disabilities, physical disabilities, substance use disorders, or a combination. Sometimes they've got all of those things. And so, like Star said, we really try to work with children in the home or in the community setting to keep them in their home setting and prevent out-of-home placements or even just short-term inpatient hospitalizations based on some of the behavioral issues that we're seeing. So typically these kids need more intensive care. They need more than just an outpatient therapist that they see weekly. So we do the service facilitation, and then we help refer out to other services in the community that can provide in-home therapy, possibly parent education or parent support groups. We have skill development services, so working on the child's independent, sometimes even employment-related skills, and so a wide array of services that we can offer. There's also services and supports that go into the school setting to help them get the support they need there academically, as far as attendance and those types of things as well. So typically, we are also seeing children who have difficulty in multiple settings. So we're seeing difficulty in school, maybe they have special education services, they might be getting aggressive towards staff and peers or getting suspended, they might be at risk of expulsion. We're looking at those children who also might be hospitalized frequently, so that's when we get involved because they're more at risk of that out-of-home placement. Also children who just might have difficulty with social relationships in the home. Oftentimes there's a trauma history. They might have issues with self-care, just overall decision-making and safety in the community. And then we're finding that they've maybe tried other interventions in the past that have not been successful, so they need more intensive services. If they've had like CPS contact and crisis calls and those kinds of things. So that's really the type of population that we're serving. And then our approach is a person-centered approach. We meet with the family and we really want to get information from them on, you know, what are your strengths and how can we build off those strengths to help support your family? And what are some of the needs that your family has? And then from there, we're helping them to develop an individualized service plan, so how we can help support those needs. Also focusing on a team approach. So once we get additional providers set up to help support the family, we're also looking at, you know, what teachers are helpful in supporting this family. Are there any relatives, church members, just other friends in the community that could also be a part of that team? And then we get the providers and the natural supports together, and we meet at least once a month to meet as a team and talk about how are things going, what are other ways that we can support you and work together to achieve your goals. Team meetings typically happen once a month. They can happen more frequently if a family has a greater need for that, or if they're doing really well, sometimes they back off and want a little less contact and work on some of that self-sufficiency. We can work with families for any length of time. We have some families that only need us for 6 months, some that need us for 10 plus years. So we're designed to be available for long-term support needs, but it also just depends on where that person is at in their recovery and if they've met those goals or if there's additional things that come up that they need to continue to work on and feel supported with. We also can receive referrals from anywhere, so a lot of our common referral sources would be schools, hospital systems, outpatient therapy clinics, sometimes juvenile crisis workers, DCFS, and even parents themselves can refer. So sometimes people hear about the program through word of mouth, or maybe a teacher or somebody that they come into contact with in the community will say, hey, I think that this program would be a good fit for you. Why don't you give Megan a call? I can talk through them, talk with them about the program and help get them connected.
Just a question on that.
Yeah.
Parents or, should we say, church entities, could they make referrals to you as well?
Yes. Yep. And part of our referral form just has like a consent attached saying, you know, the family has agreed to the referral. Because we are a voluntary program, so we want to make sure that the family is willing to participate. So we try to ask for that agreement up front. In working with DCFS, we do have a lot of shared cases. We have about 64 cases that we collaborate with them on, and 24 of those are in the youth justice system, and 40 of those are in the ongoing system. So a lot of collaboration between us and DCFS to help work together on getting those services in place and supporting the family. So we talked about services that are typically delivered. There are currently 27 other provider agencies that are providing services through the Comprehensive Community Services benefit. And so that provider network has continued to expand. We have agencies hiring on more therapists and more skill workers to help meet the needs of the family, as well as new agencies that are coming on board with wanting to be a part of the program and being available to provide that service to families. So CCS is directed just for participants with mental health or substance use disorders. And then in addition to some additional growth due to the use of the CCS benefit, as you can see on the handout, I have just a comparison of the 2016 numbers and then for 2018. And you'll see that in 2016, we served about 180 families at one time. So like that's the highest number of cases that we had open that year. And we had 16 service facilitators to work with those families. And then currently we have 244 families that we're serving and 24 service facilitator staff to help support that. So we've really been able to grow the program and grow the amount of participants that we serve, which is great because I continue to get a lot more referrals. And so we have to keep up with the amount of referrals that are coming in. So, I mean, just in the past month, we've probably gotten 20 new referrals. So things are growing rather rapidly. Any other questions about anything so far?
Yeah. Well, just from a structural standpoint, the particular services that you offer, are they done strictly through Families First Project? Or are you kind of like a coordination effort that basically has them be exposed to different entities that are already in existence? What is the structure?
Great question. So Families First is really comprised of service facilitators, and then we have one unique position who's a parent peer support and does more just support, one-on-one listening, relating with previous experiences, and is her own unique role. And so as the service facilitators, then we're looking to those other providers that are available in the community and taking our assessment and deciding, working with the family on, are you willing to, you know, accept this service and which provider would you like to choose?
So you're directing traffic in a sense. You're like, yeah, a facilitator. You're saying, you know, we have identified this. We think perhaps this will help you. Would you like to participate in this particular program? That's
correct.
Kind of the way it works.
So. Correct. And it's really based on family choice. So we want them to be able to know about the resources out there and then be able to choose what's right for their family.
You want them on board to be able to choose what's best in their specific situation, or at least be able to guide them.
Right.
And in your situation now, do you have a specific budget and where does it come from?
So I'll take that question. So to speak to your latter point, though, we are networked. So anybody, the 27 providers, they do have to meet DHS 36 as a provider. So there's a regulatory environment that we follow around that about training and requirements and minimums. So we do, we're always seeking to grow that, and as Megan mentioned. So, but how we are funded is this, the Department of Health Services and the Division of Care Treatment Services, the state of Wisconsin, because we're regionalized with Racine County, we actually receive 100% federal reimbursement on all the service and supports that we're able to provide to all the youth.
Okay.
So we're...
So you're Fed funded?
Through Medicaid.
Through Medicaid.
Okay.
To that end, if I could ask, was that reconfigured about 2 years ago through the state budgeting process? With the forcing a collaboration with Racine.
More like 4 or 5 years ago.
I think in 2014.
It's a little longer. Yeah.
2014. It was Comprehensive Community Services has been around before that, but the county had to match approximately 40% of the cost. And if we came into a partnership with another county and they had criteria for the partnership, we chose a certain type of partnership with Racine. Then the state said they would pick up the full cost of the program. They would contribute the county's 40%. And that's what they've done, which has allowed us to reach and help a lot more children and youth.
Does that caseload, has that changed significantly then? Okay.
Yes. Megan can probably speak to that. What was it originally?
Yes, it's on this. It's, if you go on this bottom of this sheet, it's because it does a comparison of 26 to 18.
But even before that this program used to have like 60 kids in it.
And you said six workers.
Sixty kids and five workers and one supervisor. Uh-huh. And now it has 244 kids and families, and a lead supervisor, three supervisors that report to Megan, and 24 staff.
And I would say out of the 244, about 220 of those families are enrolled in CCS, and then we also have some that are just working through CLTS waiver, some that are just working straight through our coordinated services team model. So some of that depends on, do they have Medicaid and are they eligible for those programs?
Okay, so let me just follow up here and we'll get to your comment here, Zach, in just a moment. The state contributes the 40% of the match the county would normally contribute, is that correct?
Correct.
And then the Fed does the other 60%?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Roughly, yeah.
So that number on an annualized basis, when you put those two together, is what type of figure? What are we looking at?
This program this year will come in at expenses at about $4.5 to $5 million. But when we close out
between the two counties or just Kenosha?
Just Kenosha youth.
Because there's an adult side.
So when we pay our December bills, it'll come up somewhere between $4.5 to $5 million.
And then when you start it out, it keeps children in homes, and it's basically estimated to have saved about $1 million in what, out-of-house placements, that type of thing, out-of-the-home placements, is that what you're coming
So with? What we were able to do is correlate through an assessment tool, and the Division of Children and Family Services actually has an algorithm that they calculate costs. So anytime we place a child in an out-of-home placement setting, there's an algorithm attached to that. So based on the same assessment tool, our children within the Families First program, we were able to apply that algorithm and basically say, because they were never placed in out-of-home care in 2017, we can actually put a figure to that cost savings.
So that's 2017?
That's 2017.
Annualized basis.
Yes.
Okay. That's my question. Zach?
I don't mean to interject, but Dave and I have judiciary, and I don't think they have a quorum yet. And if we both leave, then you guys won't have a quorum.
You are hereby...
I don't adjourn the meeting, but I don't.
Right.
If we leave, then we don't have a quorum.
Oh, that's true. So very good. I think that probably.
I don't mean to cut you off.
No problem.
You're fine.
Do you guys have other business?
Are there further?
And we can hang around for a few minutes if people have just
personal
questions. That's fine.
So with no other things on our docket here, I don't see any other things authorized by law or comments. I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Just before we move, just pretty fast. What are we doing for next month meeting? Going to have one or
I think we're talking about
there isn't, I'm asking that, I'm trying to
schedule
some traveling.
I think there has been discussion about next month's meeting, but I can't recall the specifics, so it'll have to be coming. I can't comment. We'll let you know. Motion to adjourn.
Moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Just a comment before we leave, Ron, or maybe to you, Kathy, as well. I was looking over the minutes that we looked at last time for approval of this committee's minutes, and it was done by Kim Emery.
Yes.
Thank you, ladies.
I just want to have it written down in document.
Thank you for having us.
The detailed nature of those minutes are very good, you're very pertinent, and I'd like to have her recognized, just giving a compliment.
Yeah, thank you.
Detailed nature. Now, is she doing that when she's here, or is she listening to this on tape and then transcribing? How's that working?
I think she was listening to it on tape and transcribing.
Okay, so, she'll be on this tape. Thank you very much, Kim, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I think it'll be Kathy.
I think that's Kathy's job now.
I think Kathy will be.
Yeah, Kim's out, she said I'm done.
Well, you're gonna have to live up to her reputation.
Kim still works for the county.
She
works back in the Children and Family Services. I'll see her tomorrow, I will pass that compliment, thank you. Thank you, Chairman, I appreciate that.
My wife, no, I need to go.
Thank you.
No, you got me all, thank you.
It's helping a lot of kids. You know, compared to where it was a dozen years ago, where it was
and I'm going to send it. And I'm like, this is everything I did, I can handle it, but I'm going on my own.
And I'm like, so it's a lot of need out there. You're moving their life, so.
I can't keep going back to that website. The county website, I'm looking at your guys.
No, exactly.
Sorry, that's all right. That's why.
Before they're getting into they're getting arrested and coming in as a delinquent. That's the whole idea.
This here?
That was Zach.
Getting the proper care for them now.
Michael.
That would have been because they kept it to harm themselves.
Well, we've just seen a tremendous.
Okay. Gabe, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was good. How about you? I know you went out of town.
We did, yeah. It was good, too. We went down to Illinois and spent...